Please welcome Garbage.
Avalanche is selling on too thin. She starves herself to rid herself of sin. And the kick is so divine when she sees bones beneath the skin. And she says, hey baby, can you bleed like me? Oh, come on baby, can you bleed like me? Chris is all...
What is she singing? Well, the lead singer from Garbage, by the way, is very, very hot.
Shirley Manson.
And she's singing, can you...
Bleed like me.
Oh, I thought it was like bleat. It was like that animal story from Eden Claw. Can you bleed like me?
Yeah.
It's the title track from the new album.
What does it mean? Is it like Alice Cooper?
Only women bleed, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, she's very hot, and she's, can you bleed like me? Ouch. What's it about?
She paints pictures of a whole bunch of different characters in this song. And I think it's basically, can you feel what I'm feeling kind of thing.
I hear this and I just think of bad things.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think
people cutting themselves.
And there's Jay Leno.
That's a funny song there. With
welcome to Garbage.
What's that about there, man? What's that about there? Skin near something? Mm. Skateboarding accident? What happened there?
I used to love Garbage. Big fan when they first came out.
Well, my coming. Kids like them a lot.
They're coming to Bumper Shoot.
Are they coming back?
Because
they had their show canceled here. Mike, remember Mike's date that never happened?
That's right.
Remember? Because she was sick. She was burning up at 104 or something like that.
Are you going back for that girl?
I still have those tickets. I have to get them back to the promoter to get my refund. Because Bumper Shoot, you know, it's not
you didn't
the
answer the question I
huh?
asked.
Huh? What was
right.
the question?
You going to circle the boat around and pick her up out of the water?
I thought I would call and say, hey, the show's back on, but I wouldn't be surprised if
she was totally back. Into you and you blew her off.
Well, I didn't get that impression. I got the impression, you know.
Okay, how did you not get that impression when we told you and her mother told you that?
She hasn't told me that, though.
Oh, my God. Oh, she's not going to come out and say, hey, I like you. I'm kind of
what do you want her to do?
Write it on each. I'm in two on one boob, you on the other boob, and rip open her shirt to show you that?
He'd probably like that.
I wrote another mental image.
If she wrote it on a brick and threw it at your head, if she wrote on a sledgehammer and hit you in the nards with it, would that let you know she's into you?
So are you thinking that her mother was just being polite and she really wasn't into you and you got the correct vibe and everyone else is
the
wrong?
The quote that you gave me was that her mom said, she said, well, I must be undateable, right? That's what you told me.
Because you didn't call her back, right?
Didn't you guys?
She felt bad that you ditched her.
I thought you guys spent hours together stimulating conversation after the show was canceled.
And then you never called her back.
I never called her again. No.
Mike, how is she supposed to think that you're even remotely interested in her if you don't even call?
Well, see, that's the thing. Nobody here seems to care about what I'm interested in.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Just, Mike, she,
Eeyore
she'll
Eeyore day
take
at the Bob
you.
River Show.
She'll take you, Mike. Surely you must be happy she has a pulse. Come on.
Actually, yeah, that's it to a T. Mike, aren't you lonely?
I don't want to get into.
God.
I have you, Bob. I have the Bob River Show and all of our great
family.
Fans.
Yeah.
How could I possibly be lonely?
Aren't you lonely for the touch, the scent of a woman?
Hooah!
He is now. Now that
I'm just getting
him.
Warmed up.
No,
are you afraid to talk about it? Look, if you don't want to talk about it, if it hurts that much,
well, maybe he has a sense of women, and he just doesn't talk about that. A lot of you don't kiss and tell, they say in this, you know.
That's an old wives' tale.
Yeah, by the time you're approaching 80 years old, you got to tell somebody.
Kiss and pay.
I don't know. I don't know. I do know. Well, I guess I shouldn't say.
Yes, you do know. I know you should.
Well,
know.
No, I don't know. I know he randomly met somebody in a restaurant. I don't know if he ever even called her back, but I thought that was pretty cool. Maybe that's like a soulmate type thing when you happen to stop in somewhere. And
are you renting your love these days?
Renting?
You know the old saying? If it flies, floats, or makes love, it's cheaper to rent it.
No, I will say no for you on that one, Mike.
Thanks, Joe. My counsel, Joe, will speak.
Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you heard it slightly differently.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, thank you, Joe.
So you're getting some, then. Is that the idea?
I've had quite a bit of female attention in recent weeks. Yeah, I feel
Sweet.
Real good about that.
Wow.
But I also, I am really reluctant to get involved with, you know, some other woman who's going to really do me
Break
wrong.
Break your heart.
Yeah. How are you going to know unless you try?
He's going to be an old, what do you call it? It's not an old man, an old maid. It's a
committed
spinster.
Bachelor.
Right.
Confirmed bachelor, actually.
Confirmed.
So you're you've given up on the whole, there's a woman for you. There's none.
There might be a woman for me, but she, you know, will roll me over like a steamroller and leave me crushed in her wake.
God love you. This might not be bad. So you've embraced shallow, meaningless relationships.
Well, that's what it's time to do.
Yeah,
if they're going to be shallow and meaningless.
I've been saying that for 2 years.
Be a participant.
It sounds like he is.
Participate on that level
then.
I told you 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not doing what Spike would
Man
whore. But I go out with women a couple times a week, different ones, and we get lots of, you know, have conversation. And
oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
You have a bevy of dates?
Yeah, I would say so.
A stable?
Wow.
I wouldn't say a stable or harem. A bunch of fillies.
So you're playing the field?
Sort of, and unless something really just, you know, hey, wow, this is really cool, then we just stay friends, and that's fine with me.
Because you're afraid to commit because you'll get walked on.
Well, and
hurt.
I also haven't met that.
Who hasn't been hurt? I'm sorry, but I'm not buying the sob story.
Yeah, I think you should go to one of them meet your wife hotels in Guatemala and just pick out a nice, subservient
right.
woman.
Right.
Bring her back.
I saw plenty.
Home. Teach her how to take care of the horse and wait for right. you to come home every day.
Right.
Which happens at 10:01, apparently, from earlier in the show.
Well, I know somebody's happy because I saw a little gift brought Casey's way yesterday.
Oh. Joe!
What a jinx.
Woo!
I guess
Joe!
I shouldn't tell that story
you.
I paid Mike off not to say anything. I didn't even think about buying you a cake or something to pay you off, too.
She got the most beautiful flowers. I'm no flower expert, but she got some real...
Polynesian boy is sending her flowers?
Geez.
Some real ones. These weren't the cheap ones. I mean, God. This was...
Why are you embarrassed by that? That's very nice. What woman is embarrassed when a guy buys her flowers?
I get embarrassed when people do nice things for me. Mm-hmm. I just do. I just get embarrassed.
Was it the FTD Trojan bouquet?
They have that?
Oh, yeah.
No!
Really?
Yes.
These were like the most fragrant, like long...
Isn't that kind of for him?
Oh, my God.
Not in today's liberated world.
Okay.
And I didn't mean to even be, you know, I didn't want to pry, but I wanted to make sure they were from, you know, somebody that you were happy to get them from. When roses just show up, you never know who might be sending them.
Yeah, it's true, because we're such public, you know, figures. Everybody knows where we are.
She was very happy that she said, you know, well, I won't say what she said. Because
no, go ahead, Joe. What
did
I say?
Well, you just said that it was, you know, you never really had, you know, somebody that you, I think you said, cared about or something.
Dating.
Dating, send you roses at work, and it was a very nice thought.
Yeah. This Polynesian guy's moving in for
Sweet.
The... Yeah. He's moving in for the luau now.
You know
now.
What? Can I just say what he said, though? And I think all men should take this into consideration because he makes a good point. He says, I just thought, you know, you always hear guys really only give girls flowers if they mess up. So I figured I'd give you flowers before I mess up, just for no reason. So I thought that was
man,
nice.
He's working her like
yeah.
that.
Bush called God. That softening the ground. Softening of the ground.
He's working you good.
Yeah.
No,
is he good.
No.
Has he picked up a? Is he making balloon animals for small children in the present?
Dancing with flower children? No.
I think that's great, though. It's made your day. I was happy to
it
see
did,
you happy.
It did. And they were supposed to go to my house, but he didn't have my address, so that's why they came to work.
This guy obviously has more permanent designs on you. Is that now? Look at Mike would be frightened to death.
Right.
But you're not scared of that. Possibly.
No, I don't get. No, I mean, but I'm kind of where Mike is. I'm still very leery about. I'm not afraid of commitment like Mike is. No offense, Mike.
You know, I never had a woman done me wrong that made me jaded about all other women. That would be harsh.
Nope.
I was the one that done them wrong, and I just went on oblivious to it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, sure like buses. There'll be no one by here in 10 minutes. Get on it.
Well, and I should correct Casey, too, because I'm not afraid of commitment. That was an issue in my last long-term
relationship. No, you wanted commitment, and
I
the person
it.
That we
right.
were going out with was afraid of commitment.
Exactly.
You're afraid of committing to someone who will do you wrong again.
And so when you put it all out there, and you're like, I'm yours, you know, I want to be with you forever, and then she's like, yeah, no, see you later.
But by the same token, Mike, when you go out with a hot young girl and she says, yes, I'd like to explore this further, You're not attracted to that. You're attracted to the cold ones who don't want you.
She did not say, yes, I want to explore this further. She said, when the concert is rescheduled, give me a call.
Well, she was playing...
Like, she was playing hard to get.
She
a
was
little
playing.
Bit.
Most women think that if they're too eager, that you'll buy them the Trojan bouquet for the next
right.
date.
The get me up. Bouquet.
They don't want that.
Well, and I'm not that kind of guy. But you're right.
She doesn't
know
that. No, women don't know that about you.
No, they assume that you're like that until you prove otherwise. I got to be honest.
Right.
It's hard to compare like you and Casey as far as being burned. I mean, Casey's like. Had a little coffee spilled on me, Burn. You've like stuck
wait a
my
second. No, no. I've had my heart broken
lava.
Several
well,
times.
Well, but
so.
Mike is more like stuck my head in a convection oven, Burn. You know, he's been toasted bad.
He had a woman from Canada marry him for a year and a day so she could get citizenship and then leave his stuff on the front lawn.
Yeah, I can't beat that.
And ask him to pay for the kid of the guy she was.
Right. Then he had to pay child right. support for the kid that wasn't his.
What?
Right.
What?
I've been Darth Vader burned.
Oh, wow.
He was left on the side of a burning lava river.
Thank you for calling the Bob River Show.
He's danced on the volcano and fallen in. I mean, he knows.
Yeah, that's really bad. What's the worst that happened to you is that some good-looking guy was not making time with other people behind your back.
That wasn't the worst one, actually. That was pretty bad, but the worst was a couple before him that just completely was like, yeah, I'm not so into you. I know I've been dating you for a while, but not so into you. I was just heartbroken. Horrible.
That was worse than cheating on you?
Yes. Yes.
Cheating on you
Why?
Means I'm
because
into you, but I just can't control my urges.
I'm
people.
Into you and her and her and her and her.
I'm into everybody.
But at least I'm into you,
I'm into
too.
You, if you let me.
Wyatt, that's the worst.
I know why. No,
why?
I know why. Because,
why?
Okay.
Because he was rejecting her as a person.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Him right. him cheating was his shortcoming.
Right.
Somebody telling you they weren't into you see that as
that
your
was
shortcoming.
Mine. Yeah, and wrong. I didn't break up with the cheater for the cheating. I broke up with him for a completely different reason, so that's why it wasn't as hard.
You didn't break up with him for cheating?
No, I shouldn't have. I mean, I should have earlier, but I didn't.
Why did you break up with him?
Well, we just didn't really get along.
Because he cheated.
No. No. I
know why you broke up with him.
I had my faults, so.
Well, I think, what?
I've got lots of faults, come
yeah,
on.
Okay.
Why do you think I broke up with him then?
Because you started hanging out with this show with more mature people, and you realized it was an immature relationship for the first time in your life.
Very interesting wow. theory.
You saw the family
sure
value.
Very self-serving, too, by my dad.
Hanging out with Bob's back and Joe.
I suddenly realized maturity. That these are more mature right. family guys, and that, you know what? What I have here is just, it's plaything, childish type of thing.
Well, yeah, that's partially true, I suppose.
I know. Here's the other thing. Here's a tip for you.
Okay, let me get this.
If someone's not into you, mm-hmm. it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Their fault.
No, that's...
They have no taste.
Right.
Because you have made you as good as you can be. Do this as Dr. Phil, would you please?
you work hard to be the best person you can be. And if someone wants a shallow person, if they dive into Casey and hit their head on the bottom of the pool, that is not Casey's fault.
Oh, my God.
I think you see what I'm saying here.
I'm a pool?
You're a pool. But you're deep. You're deep. You are the deep end. I would cannonball into you at any point in time.
Okay.
Off the high dive. Okay. I'm a gainer. You're a pool and I'm a gainer.
Okay. Oh, God.
Meanwhile, you're dating a man with a mental water wing. The equivalent of inflatable duck around his waist.
What?
That is not your fault. You have to let that go.
Gary Cole, the award-winning actor millions know as Vice President Bingo Bob on West Wing, and possibly even just as well known for his starring role as the jerk of a boss on Office Space. Gary Cole, a pleasure to meet you. You're a fine actor. Welcome to the Bob River Show.
Morning, how are you?
Great. I'll start with West Wing, as I'm a big fan of that character. And I have to ask you, I mean, the character is brought in as the as the loser, as the guy that no one really wants, and the only guy that the Republicans will approve.
Because they know he's a dead stick come election day.
Right. And so on the one hand, you get this call, you're going to be in West Wing, and that's very exciting. On the other hand, tell you, when they describe the character...
Yeah, here's the bad news. Yeah.
How did you know going in that this is the character, and how much fun is it to go in knowing you're playing the dork?
I like the character from the get-go. The first scene that I actually saw and did for the audition and actually shot was his, you know, kind of pitch to Martin Sheen about, you know, what kind of VP he would be, and then, you know, immediately moved to what he would require. He had an immediate sense of entitlement, which kind of underlined how dim he was a little bit.
He was a little. I hate to
be a character that basically annoyed everybody else on the staff, but that was an asset because I thought it would be, you know, I thought it'd be something that would be.
Did you study tapes of John Kerry for this
one? Dude.
No, they have. You know, the writing on that show has always been very, very, very specific, and that character was no exception. So it wasn't. You don't really have to invent a lot for characters on the West Wing because they're really supplied by, you know, the writers.
Of course, as the character develops and the season rolls along, yes, he's destined to lose, to Smits, and you can sort of tell that. But at the same time, he grows, and you start to get a sense, you start to feel a little for him because he really is a good man.
Yeah, and I think that he was, you know, he was probably not as much of a dimwit as people made him, as people perceived him initially. I think people underestimated him, and that was another, you know, fun thing about the character to play.
I loved when you figured out that you solved a world crisis. Bingo Bob, I should say.
Right, Bingo Bob saves the day for a second.
Right, because, you know, I was on his party barge getting drunk with a Russian diplomat, and he puked over the side of the boat and said, I might hit one of our subs. So, I know there's Russian subs down there.
Which led to a great line by Richard Schiff, which said, you're going to leave the fate of the world in Bingo Bob's hands? I think we'd been near a better system than that.
Another one I got to ask you, if you watched any tape on, is to do Mike Brady. I really enjoyed the Brady Bunch movies, and I think you nailed the dad better than anybody else nailed. I mean, you became Mike Brady. Did you watch the old series to do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even before I went in to meet Betty Thomas, the director, I taped one off the air and just kind of ran it again and again and again and tried to get some kind of, you know, rhythm that he had. And then as we did the movie, I just kind of had it playing in the background, either on the set or, you know, in my trailer constantly, so that I, you know, whenever I was speaking, I could try to channel him.
Well, that's quite a daunting task, because that show is so ingrained in everybody's subconscious. I mean, the hair on the back of your neck stands up watching you do that character. It was brilliant.
Well, they wanted, I mean, that was the intention of the movie. I mean, the only reason that I think, you know, that you were going to get laughs out of a movie about, you know, the Brady Bunch was to duplicate those original actors. That's what, you know, that's what made it work. Had it been, you know, our own interpretation of something, I think it would have been confusing and then not nearly as fun.
I'll bet it was kind of eerie on the set with all of those props.
There was a lot of Carmen. We were actually shot the movie on the original soundstage where they did the television show, because it was all under, you know, it was all at Paramount.
I hesitate to call it a cult classic because it was a hit, but it's a cult classic in the fact that I know people who watched the movie Office Space 100 times. It's like their Rocky Horror picture show. And did you have an idea when you were making that movie that it was going to strike such a nerve with the cubicle working populace as it did, or are you surprised later at how intense the fandom is for that?
Very surprised. We all knew it was good. We all believed in the script and in Mike Judge who wrote and created it. You know, we felt that what we were working on was something that was really good, but once it came and went in the theater, we figured, you know, that was the end of it. Nobody showed up, and, you know, you just move on to the next thing. And then, you know, all of a sudden, a year later, people are coming up to you doing dialogue from the movie that, that you've forgotten about. You knew something happened. You know?
Asking how many pieces of flair you were sporting today.
That's right. And you know what's brilliant about that? I like movies like that because, you know, they get a shot in the theater, and if it's not marketed right or whatever, you know, people may miss it. But now you have another shot. Eddie and the Cruisers was a movie like that. You have a shot where it can suddenly be monstrous on DVD because people have time to show it to each other and tell each other. And then what they do is they run out and buy it at that point. Actor Gary Cole, we're big fans. Thank you, Gary. Nice to talk to you.
You bet. Take care.
Wireless chips at the Blaine border. We talked about this a little bit yesterday.
We mentioned it. We never really explained it.
A United States security official said that wireless technology is going to be used at 5 border posts with Canada and Mexico. Blaine is one of them. To track foreigners driving in and out of the United States. And this starts next week. Here's what they intend to do. I think this is great, by the way. And, you know, I'm very privacy-oriented. But if you're a foreigner coming into this country, you don't have the privacy. You want to become a citizen, you can have the privacy. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, they're taking it away from us, too. Antennas have been installed at the Peace Arch border crossing at Blaine and the Thousand Island Bridge in Alexandria Bay, New York. Wireless chips for vehicles, they put it in your vehicle, will become mandatory at the designated border crossings August 4th. It's a major transformation of gathering information about entries and exits along the border. Now, the article doesn't get way into it, but what they do is they put a little GPS monitor on your, or something that trips it when you go across the border on your car. Does
right.
it also track wherever you are?
Yeah. They're not revealing that, and I think that would be pretty sophisticated unless it's on satellite technology. Maybe, but basically they just want to know the comings and goings, and this is an automatic way to monitor that.
The program will apply to all foreigners with U.S. visas. The American Civil Liberties Union is against it. They're against everything, by the way, and sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I don't.
Right.
They say that the program violates privacy rights for third country nationals. What is a third country national?
That would be somebody, I would guess, from the third world.
Third world? So Canadian nationals with visas wouldn't be subjected to this?
Well, anybody that requires a visa to enter the U.S. So, like, a Canadian doesn't require
a visa. You
don't
need a visa from Canada. Do you need one from Mexico?
No.
No.
No, but for example, China, you'd probably need one. Or if you came from, I believe, Russia, you would need one.
How about Europe? Would you need one from Europe?
And not folks who are part of the EU, but if you came from Eastern Europe, say Romania or Bulgaria, you might possibly need one from
there. Well, that's an antiquated standard, isn't it? I mean, the way things are blowing up right now in London, you got British nationals who are sympathetic or neurotic or fanatical about their cause, and they wouldn't be subjected to this Eastern European.
I think you need a tourist visa.
Yeah, you need a visa from
Britain.
Europe, from anywhere in Europe,
from
sure, yeah.
Okay.
Even if your name's not Cat Stevens, I think you're checking on that, no?
No, actually, if you're coming from Europe, you have an automatic period of time you can visit without a visa. I believe it's 3 weeks.
That's because we want people who can speak our language. That's what I think it is.
No, I hear you. Okay. It's still a World War II mentality, though, isn't it? It's still a cold. I mean, if you're from the old Eastern Bloc, you got to have one. If you're from the old Allied forces,
so you're
countries.
Into profiling, because that's what this brings up. By
you
the way,
you bet your ass, I'm into profiling.
You're into profiling.
Well, you know,
how would you profile people? Muslims form a line here.
I wouldn't. No, not at all, because there are Muslims in this country who are American citizens, and I wouldn't label it on Muslim at all. I think anybody who isn't a U.S. citizen, regardless of your ethnicity, your religious background, you get tagged when you come in.
You know,
and I think an antenna on your car is an asinine way to do it.
Why?
Because what you find is a bunch of abandoned cars 5 miles down the road from Blaine. What good does that do? You know what car? Where you know where the car he came in is located. You know, hit him in the ass with a trank dart at the gift shop. Okay, while they're down, tag their ear like on Wild Kingdom. When they wake up, they have very, you know, it's a lovely peace earring we gave you as a gift to come to the country.
So you want to go Blade Runner on them?
I want to tag them, you bet.
On who, though? Everybody?
Everybody coming
so
in.
So you don't want to target, well, I thought you said you were into profiling.
Yeah, anybody from us and them. I'm an us and them profiler. I don't want to, it doesn't be about religion.
You're into us and them.
Us and them. Doesn't be about skin color, not about religion, not about country of origin. It's us
Doug
and them.
Is in Federal Way. Doug.
Hey, good morning, Bob, Spike, Joe, and the adorable Casey. Third country national. That question came up a minute ago.
Yes.
That means a third country national is any country or a person from another country who's not a party to the border that's being crossed. So in this case, anybody other than the U.S. or Canada, that's a third country national.
Makes perfect sense. So if you're from Mexico but you're crossing at the Canadian border, that's a third party. It's like a third-party check.
No.
If you're crossing from U.S.
I thought I had it.
Into Canada or Canada into the U.S., you are a party to that border.
If you're a Pakistani coming through Canada, you're a third country.
Oh, that's what I was just saying.
Right.
If you're a Mexican coming through
Canada.
No,
because they're a neighbor to us.
You know, because they're a neighbor to our border, too.
Okay, but anybody who's not a neighbor to our border who comes through a border is a third party.
You nailed it, Bob.
Okay, I was close.
Smooth.
All right, take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Doug. All right, your check is in the mail, Doug. That's our vast unpaid research staff.
Solid. Solid as a rock.
So, you would tag and inject a chip into every person coming into the United States who is not an American citizen, a United States citizen.
I'd give him an ankle bracelet like you gave Martha Stewart, something you can't take off, something that isn't uncomfortable.
Do you know how much that would cost, by the way?
Okay, how many lives would it save? What's that worth?
Well, what is the value of a life? That's good. How much? So what if your taxes went up from, say, you know, a third of your income to two-thirds of your income, but it saved four lives? Would that be worth it to you?
Yeah.
It would?
Yeah.
For four lives?
Yeah.
You'd give up another whole third of your income?
Yeah.
We could probably arrange that.
Are you sure you know what you're saying?
No. I see the worst case scenario you're going with here.
When people use the lives argument,
yeah,
generally they consider a life to be priceless. They never put a price tag on a life. Do you know that businesses put a price tag on a life?
Oh, I know. It's called insurance company. They do it every day.
Right.
You can't start tagging or branding people that come to visit your country. It just don't sit well with the rest of the world.
Come here. It's a small price to pay for
that
admission.
That doesn't sit well with the rest of the world either. The United States, the brochure says, don't come here.
Then don't come. You don't like it, don't come.
Yeah, I mean, we're
Turn around so I can see the red on your neck.
I'm not asking people to be branded or tagged. I was kidding about the Trank dart.
And could have fooled me.
But a bracelet, one of those, you know... You know what I'm saying?
That's not branding.
It's not branding. Something that you can take off when you leave. But if you want to be here, it's like going to the Magic Kingdom. You got to have a pass to get in. You got to have a ticket while you're there, right? If you're not going to do anything, what do you care that you got something on you that lets us know where you are?
1-800-252-1025. How would you profile? Would you tag, like they're going to do at Blaine, would you tag cars? Would you tag people? Is Spike on it? Or is the whole thing an invasion of privacy? 1-800-252-1025.
In Israel, that's actually how they prevent a lot more bombings on buses and cafes and so forth. They profile all the time over there. In fact, the British government and the U.S. government is looking at the Israeli government on how to prevent future attacks like what happened in the subways.
If you go to Ireland to visit your relative, Spike, will you take a Trank dart while you're there?
I'd wear whatever they ask me to wear in their great country. You bet I would.
You would.
As a guest of their country, it's not an infringement on my rights. It's the price of getting in.
By the way, using Israel as an example is not all that appealing, because I don't know how many times I've said to myself, gosh, I wish our country was more peaceful and relaxed like Israel.
Well,
the whole point of that is that it's done because it's an absolute emergency.
Necessity.
Right. 1-800-252-1025. At Blaine, they're going to start putting monitors on cars to track third world nationals going back and forth across our border. That's third country. That's
third country.
People who are not from Canada or Mexico, countries bordering us. So is that the start of a great trend? Spike says, go ahead and tag everyone who ain't one of us. The moment they come in the Disneyland amusement park,
right,
that is America.
You turn the turnstiles.
Give
them
a little bracelet to wear.
Yep.
Would that be a good idea or a bad idea? Mark in Linwood.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. O'Neill, you are once again the voice of reason. Spike.
Thank you. I knew Linwood would sound in with some reason.
Spike, I really do agree with you on this. You know, everyone's wearing these little wrist bracelets lately. Why couldn't it be something very similar to that? And again, your point's well taken, Spike. The only people who have anything to worry about are the people who've got something to hide. And my last point, boy, we can spend billions and billions and billions of dollars fighting the war in Iraq. Don't you think we could spend a few million to do this? Because more, I'll bet you a lot of people who come across the border are doing it on a consistent basis. Once they're tagged, they're tagged.
You got a Live Strong bracelet on. Have it a Live Free bracelet.
Why not?
Right. You know? And isn't that a little ironic to handcuff someone with something that says Live Free?
I'm not saying handcuff.
It's going to be a handcuff.
Dude, that's you're extreme.
Otherwise, it's coming off easy.
What if it's red, white, and blue? It's all foamy and soft and sweet. It smells like apple pie, you know? Come on.
And you just say, here's your souvenir.
Here's
Welcome
your souvenir.
To
It'll get you free into a baseball game while you're here, too. How about that, huh?
I agree with you 100%, Spike.
Thank you. Wes has my point of view on this. Wes, go ahead.
Well, I guess for me, I do a lot of traveling. I mean, 150,000 miles a year, you know, and through airports. And I just assume they did away with all the security. You know, they put all that security in because they said it saves lives. Yet I look at, I don't know, 20,000 people a year that die in this country just due to, for instance, DWIs. So it's obviously not a true life issue.
That's right.
Because we're not doing anything to save those lives. So we lost, I mean, and I believe it's a tragedy, but with the Twin Towers 9/11 thing, I don't know what the final count was, 5,000 people?
A little less than 5,000.
You know, a million, 2 million, how many million Americans have to go through these security checks? And it costs companies a lot of money, the amount of time we spend traveling going through that. I just assume they got rid of the security checks, and I would take my chances on the airplanes.
And if Spike had his way when it comes to drunk driving, in order to purchase a drink, you would have to buy this little suction thing that would go on your mouth mm-hmm. and measure your blood alcohol and prevent you from driving a car. And every alcoholic beverage consumed in America, someone would have to be fitted with it. It would strap across your face, okay?
Ooh, like in Hellraiser. That'd be awesome.
That's right.
Or yeah, just
because we need to save 20,000 lives. Those lives aren't worth anything.
I never said
you
that.
You could care less about it.
Financially sound that. To do that, it would kill a huge market and a huge tax revenue. So it comes down to money and business and what makes good business sense. I think it's politically it's a big deal now to talk about security and.
Well, what if you had something called a drunken prick at every bar? And what you do is you stick your little finger in this little sock and it pricks your finger, gets a blood alcohol level, and if you pass, you can have another drink.
You would buy that?
Sure,
you would think that would be a good idea.
That'd be fine. Yeah. If it saved lives.
I just think in this country, if we're talking about the DWI thing as far as
like
control,
the name.
They should just make drinking and driving illegal as opposed to being drunk and driving. And eventually, I think you'd see a drop in that. It's legal to drink and drive. It's just they leave it up to you to decide if you're drunk enough to
Right. They leave it up to you to guess what your blood alcohol level is.
Right.
Exactly. So if they made it illegal to drink and drive, period, then that would eventually you'd see a decline in those deaths.
Mark is in Renton. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, first I want to say I just drove up to Vancouver a couple weeks ago and visited some friends who were over here from the United Kingdom, and they could not come down to visit over in here because they did not have a visa.
Okay, you got to hang out with
do need visas to enter the
You got
to
hang out
States
with better
now.
People then, shouldn't you? Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say was that I just kind of think life is dangerous. You know, every day we get in our cars, it's dangerous, and there's no way we can prevent all of the stuff that's going to happen. I mean, the way I like to say is life is sexually transmitted and terminal.
Life is fatal. Do you ever think of that? Life
of
is fatal.
Of course it is, but I'm
it will kill you.
You act as if anything you could do to prolong or to whatever it costs to stop any tragedy from happening, no matter how much other hardship it creates, it's worth it.
No, it's not worth it to spend all that money.
I agree, but that's what Spike said.
Be smart. Yeah. I mean, be reasonable. Yes, we do need to raise the level of security probably. It's too easy to cause trouble. But at the end of the day, there's no way we can prevent it all. Like they say, I mean, terrorists only have to be right once. We have to be right 100% of the time if we want to prevent it. And that's
it's
never
not
gonna
possible.
Happen.
So
Thank
it's
you.
Not worth trying? The guy was so self. He was conflicting everything he said.
No, he didn't say. In fact,
said. It's not safe. We need to keep safe. We got to keep safe. We got to try hard.
The other
but
guy
we can't
said,
do
get
it
rid
all,
of it
so
all.
Why bother?
Well, it's not why bother. It's know when to say when. how ironic. Leonard.
Yeah. You have to bring your visa, your passport with you. Why not just make it part of the wrist bracelet? That's a really good idea. Why not just make it so that if you want to come into this country, you have to bring your visa. Why not make it part of that bracelet? You don't take it off, and anytime you go into a place, they can scan you, they can track you if they really want to.
Leonard, you're walking into a trap. You know why?
Why?
Because if it works so good on foreigners, what about all the Americans who kill Americans? What about all the pedophiles? What about all that? Pretty soon you're tagging every
American.
They already
do that with a lot of them. They make them wear ankle bracelets when they're on house.
Right, but why not tag every American so that whenever a crime is committed and someone dies, you got them?
And why not just put it under their skin, just since it wouldn't be as easy to see? And
less
be more,
embarrassing.
More convenient for everybody.
Well, you know, they're already testing stuff like that with banks and things like that, so that all you have to do to purchase anything is wave your hand in front of a scanner at the store and it's already paid for.
I suspect that Spike would submit to an implantation at birth to every human born on Earth so that they can be tracked and monitored, because if someone has nothing to hide, there's no reason they shouldn't want it. Is that right?
Exactly.
Do you really think that's not coming?
It's coming.
I'm just ahead of my time, that's all.
You're all
for
it.
I'm forward thinking.
You want people to know where you are every minute?
Yeah.
If you went and sat in the middle of that crowd knitting at the Mariners last night, would you want people to know about
First
that?
First off, I wouldn't go there.
Well, you know, if
and if
you
I
did.
Was, if I had no shame, I wouldn't care who knew.
Thank you. Here's Perry in Seattle. Perry?
Well, we live in a free country, and part of the beauty of the free country is we take risks. And so to tag people at the border is ridiculous. A huge chunk of our business is done through tourism, and you will eliminate a huge chunk of tourism by tagging people.
Do you think that somebody would actually not come to this country for tourism because they would have to be, that we would ask that we know where they are while they're here? You think that would stop people from coming?
You bet it would. It would
really?
Stop me.
Would you?
I wouldn't go to Canada or Mexico if I thought that they were going to track where I was going.
Why? You going to try to steal something while you're there?
No, I may want to have an affair with somebody, or I may want to do illicit drugs, or I may want to... It's no one's business what I do, and I don't
think...
Well,
God forbid, if I stop somebody from coming to this country just to illicit drugs, I feel bad. I can't sleep at night if I stop... If I stopped a junkie from coming here to score heroin, oh, man, that'd be horrible.
Well, I completely disagree with you.
What about her nailing some pool boy in Canada?
You don't want to stop that, do you?
Well, now you're talking sex, and that's different.
That's what Tim's saying. There's no end to it.
And even if you know where these people go, do you think you're going to stop... a crime? You're not. And we have
actually,
plenty of terrorists that we breed on our own soil. I mean, everyone forgets the Oklahoma City bombing. That was a good old American boy.
A guy willing
born
to blow himself up for the cause isn't going to stop because he's got a tracking device on.
Here's Russell in Seattle. Russell.
Yes, hi, guys.
Go.
Yeah, I wanted to weigh in sort of also on Spike's side of things here. I was listening to the caller earlier who was talking about, you know, getting rid of airline security and you know, how drunk driving is a bigger problem. And you know, I just totally disagree with that. It seems like, you know, one drunk driver, you know, can cause an accident, sure, can cause deaths, but it's very, you know, there's way, way more incidents, way more drivers, and each individual incident is a much smaller problem where... You get rid of airline security or border security, and one crazed lunatic can cause a catastrophic event, and you know the airlines are going to go out of business real quick.
So you're saying that you're not it's not about the value of human lives, because 20,000 lives is a lot of lives. You're saying it's about how much media exposure and disruption to our nation can be caused by a single event. And that's a valid point.
Something like that.
Yeah. So you could care less about human life. I got it.
Exposure, but just what is your safety level? How safe do you feel on a daily basis?
Next up, here's Russell. Leonard in Seattle. Go, Leonard.
Hey, not Leonard, but hey, Spike's pretty tracking where he's at as far as being ahead of his time. You guys should check out Arthur C. Clarke's 3001. And it wasn't for such a sinister reason as security. As it was for internet, there were skull caps that everyone had put on their heads. Arthur C. Clarke's 3001. Check it out.
Thank you, Leonard. I didn't say he wasn't ahead of his time, and I actually kind of agree that this stuff is
inevitable.
A little bit unstoppable, but yeah. I think it's bad. Ray.
Yeah, I think if you want to find the answers, you follow the money and you'll find the answer. But I think it all boils down to the almighty dollar. There is a value of a human life. According to my health insurance, it's $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason that there's so much security at the airport, it's got nothing to do with the value of human life. I think you need that layer of security so people feel comfortable to fly. If after 9/11 they stop flying and we lose a whole industry, that's bad for the U.S.
You're right, and it was largely window dressing because for a long time they didn't track
didn't
any of the luggage.
Anything. Yeah, you're right.
And
right, you had to clear security, but anything could be put in your bags for a long time.
Someone told me you can get knitting needles on the planes, by the way. something that came up last week.
Really? I heard you couldn't.
This woman wrote in and she said, we were at the security checkpoint and they took my friend's toenail clippers mm-hmm. from her.
Right.
And they got to my bag with the knitting stuff and they left it. And I said, well, if you're taking her toenail clippers, why aren't you taking my knitting needles? And here's the answer. The NTS person said, knitting needles are not on my list. But cuticle scissors are.
Yep.
That may have changed. They may have put knitting needles on the list. But you've got...
Get this pen to Havana or I will give you a pedicure, Duendo pedicure.
Yeah, you would think a sharp pointed, you know, stick over a foot long made out of metal would be on the list.
Jeff Lott gave up a career in corporate America after trying comedy at an open mic in 2001 and is now a headliner. He's gone on to share the stage with guys like Doug Stanhope, Jake Johansson, and Jim Gaffigan. He's also one of the stars of sketch TV show, what's it called?
Hacks TV.
Hacks TV.
Oh, baby.
Jeff Lott, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. It's nice to meet you. And where do you live?
I actually live in Kirkland right now, trying to keep with my people.
With the peeps of Kirkland?
Yeah.
And are you tempted to move to Los Angeles? Because I understand it's going pretty well.
A little bit. Part of me wants to go down there, but I don't know. Like, I think I have the moral fortitude to stay with it because, you know, I'm 31 now. So 10 years ago, if I had made the move, if I was any good, I'd be dead by 27 like any useful rock star. So, you know, now that you're 31, it's kind of like I'd go down there and probably get bored after a while. I'm like, yeah, I'll go back in temp or something. But actually, a funny thing is, like, I still actually work in corporate America, but I did give up.
Tell me about that. What did you originally do? What was your job? Were you doing those reports? We're going to need you to come in on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny.
In a cubicle?
You guys have Gary Cole on earlier.
Yeah.
And my boss makes Gary Cole's character look like Braveheart. Absolutely. That's what I do, basically.
And what, you chucked it all one day?
No, I actually still work for that company.
You just don't work now at it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't try as hard. Sometimes sober. You know, if it's a Tuesday.
You quit taking it seriously, the whole corporate.
Can you plug the company that you're doing a crappy job for?
Can I plug them? I'll plug them, but I'm not going to
tell their
name. Yes, we
can sell our stock real quick before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure, like, there are some people. Well, I would say that they're listening right now, but they're all at their desk.
Okay.
Because
you're
like it matters.
From around here, and, of course, you travel around the country.
Yeah.
Do you do Seattle humor? Do you tell, you go, you know, come up, tell me you do. You talk about Seattle, like, behind our back.
No, I actually don't. I don't do it too much. The biggest thing that I talk about around Seattle is just how everyone likes to act like they care. You know, they'll have a protest about, like, oh, we don't want any war. We need to feed hungry people. And they're, you know, they'll go out and stand on a street corner and screw up traffic, but they're like a block and a half from a food bank. Like, they'll sit there, you know, and you'll be like, you guys, kids are going hungry. I don't know if you know, because people will camp out every time a Krispy Kreme opens, and we can't get any money for schools in this city. Uh-huh. Like, we know kids need books, but those are warm donuts. Have you had a warm donut? Have you lived the dream?
That's true. And the people with the protests who shut down the highway stole Daddy's SUV.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
That gets 4 miles to the gallon.
Oh, yeah.
To protest a war for oil.
I have a cause. It's 8:20 in the morning. Get a job. Maybe then I'll piggyback your cause.
There's a lot of that. So, are you married?
No.
31, not married?
Nope.
On the road, comedian?
Kind of, yeah.
On the prowl?
No, I actually have a wonderful girlfriend.
We're on in your hometown right now. If you're in Indianapolis,
I am so loyal, so true.
Oh man, if I was
one of those honest guys, though, you are honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, like yeah.
And how did you meet your girlfriend? Did you meet her at a show?
I actually did. She is a
great way to snag a girlfriend is to be a comedian. It is.
Oh yeah.
They just love you. You can have your pick, can't you? Usually they're there for a bachelorette party or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, the bachelorette party. Definitely.
So tell me more about your girlfriend. What's her name?
Her name's Alicia, and she is actually an old friend of another person that I'm doing Hacks TV with, Kalorn, and they've been friends for years, and we met. And Alicia's one of the, probably the first woman in a long time who I met and could not keep my cool together. I was like, all right, how's it going? And I turned the corner and she's standing there and I was just like, all right, well, yeah. So it was cool.
And so you were love struck immediately.
Yeah, I was definitely, I was down for her cause.
But she liked the kind of dorky love struck look you had, I guess, huh?
I guess so. I don't know. And plus I was pouring drinks down her throat, so.
It's a good icebreaker.
That helps.
Yeah.
You mentioned Office Space. Are you a big fan of movies? Do you watch a lot of movies?
Yeah, we watch quite a few movies. We actually, Alicia and I just went and saw War of the Worlds, you know, because it's the big summer blockbuster. And I'm like, I really like special effects movies. And the special effects were, if you guys haven't seen it, absolutely amazing. There were a couple scenes that Tom Cruise actually looked straight in that movie.
Wow.
That's, hey, that's, I got the bell.
That's movie magic.
Oh, you're a listener to the show, so you know the bell is good.
So
yeah,
the bell is not.
Some people think the time's up.
Do,
you know.
One side, we done.
Yeah, it's only 3.5 minutes in. Oh, my
and,
God.
And what other movies do you like? Did you see the Fantastic Four? That was horrible.
I haven't seen that
yet. Awful.
They usually, when you start getting lately the cartoon books like Superman, who knows what that's going to be like, and Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks boring.
I mean, I can't understand why the movies, the big movies that are out are War of the Worlds, Herbie the Love Bug, and Bewitched. I don't get it.
Because original thoughts are rarer than hen's teeth in Hollywood. That's why.
They don't accept original scripts.
Where's this worked before? I don't know. I need to have some track record.
Yeah.
Play it in London. Let me see if we can get something.
Do you watch a lot of TV?
I watch a little bit. I'm trying to educate myself more than entertain myself lately, just to see what happens, and it's not working. But because they say, you know, your education, once you have it, you can keep it. But forever, that's a lie. I drank a lot of it out of my head. I went to Ireland for like 3.5 weeks once, and I've never been.
You got a degree in history, right?
Yeah, and basically all I can sum up from that is that white people are a-holes.
Well, I think you boil it down to its essence.
Yeah. APC.
Anything that went bad in history in a book, the first picture is a white guy in a fancy jacket going, this is going to be great.
I think you got it. Why, George, I think you got it.
Yeah. Slavery. Yeah, I'm going through the whole list right now.
Manifest destiny.
Yeah, and then like 10 minutes ago, you guys were talking about ethnic cleansing at the airport. So, you know.
Well, it wasn't quite that.
That's what it's going to be.
You find your niche.
Cleansing?
No, I don't. Well, not quite that, but.
Well, you know, I was really surprised. I'm sitting here taking the stance for let's mm-hmm. not close the borders, but let's, you know, bag and tag everybody
them,
who
absolutely.
Comes in, right? You know, let's dart them, tag them, release them back into the wild. They'll be groggy for a few miles after the border, but they should snap out. Yeah, who isn't? Yeah.
Right. And somebody will be sitting at a screen tracking their every move.
Right. And people were given the opportunity to call and argue with us, and nobody, not a single person, you simple losers, nobody threw the where are your papers line in my face. It was a prime moment to put me in my place. Do you have your papers? I mean, people.
But he got it. He got it. It was
oh, I know.
Cleansing.
Jeff
yeah.
got it. Jeff got it. But nobody who called in busted me on the value of your papers. Come on, people.
Well, it's because a few people go out and they screw it up for everybody else, and we all start to assume. It's stereotyping, and it's necessary, and it's fun.
It's necessary, and it's fun.
Right. Yeah.
How so?
It makes it easier to tell who you're behind on the roads.
Well, Jeff's got a real pure American look, so he'll fit
yeah,
right
he
in.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you go ahead, Jeff.
I got that
go
going for me.
Yeah. Nice backpack. Is that ticking? Go
Put
ahead.
A suit on him, and I'm pretty sure he's going to say, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite place to perform in the world?
My favorite place to perform in the world? I don't know. It really depends on the night and the club, because sometimes the clubs are the clubs can be great. Sometimes they can be horrible.
And sometimes it varies a lot between the early and the late show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When you get a few people who just decided to extend happy hour, and they're like, we'll go to a comedy club. We're funny, and you can smell them coming a mile away. And
now, is that a good thing that they're drunk and they laugh easier, or is it distracting? Do you want to intellectually win them over rather than just get people who are lubed?
Oh no, I'm a whore. I just want them. That's the thing, is you could have a great set and they'll walk out going, that last guy was good, and they don't know your name. They don't know that it was the headliner, and they're just thinking, well, I gotta get up and go to Planned Parenthood again. So, is it Wednesday already?
So do you have a favorite travel destination or not?
Cabo San Lucas was fun. I haven't done comedy there, but that was fun. Michigan's nice. That's always a good time.
That's a variety.
Detroit and Cabo, yeah. Boy, you got your...
You betcha.
You know, he'd be
diversity.
Good. You'd be good. Have you done the cruise ships? You'd be good cruise ship because you're clean. I can tell that right
oh,
off the
absolutely.
Bat. Got a girlfriend
Squeaky.
Not cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
and I think they let you bring your girlfriend on the cruise, too, if you do a cruise. You should try that.
You hear that, honey? Get over your fear of water.
although the disadvantage of the cruise is bringing your girlfriend someplace where you can eat 24 hours a day while you're working is probably bad.
Did you hear that, honey? He thinks you're fat. She's not, Bob.
The boat is listing to one side.
She could get fat.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Jeff, we're going to need her to go to the other side of the boat now. Yeah.
Is she afraid of water?
No, she's great. I think I'd probably be the one like, crap, I got to do a show. I just loaded up on shrimp. Yeah. So, no, I think it'd be fun to do the cruise show. I'm not really clean if anyone's out there thinking, oh, my, we're going to go see some nice Christian.
You've got dirty stuff, you're just not doing it here?
It's not necessarily dirty, but I do like to push the limits a little bit.
Do you talk about sex at all?
A little bit.
You don't strike me as one of those guys.
No, it's kind of, I mean, you can, but it's been just done so many times, and it's usually not done very well. So I figure if you take a subject that you shouldn't talk about and you bring it up in a way that people they'll groan a little bit and it's like that, oh, and then they bust into the laugh, then you have something good. And it's a challenge to the writer as opposed to the comic just being like, hey, my mama does this with your grandpapa. And after a while, you're like,
snap!
Yeah, who knew? Yeah. Tony Moser's an idiot. Go ahead.
Who's Tony Moser?
He's probably listening at work right now.
Oh. Somebody you just personal shout out to.
Yeah.
Loser. All right. Loser.
And now, what kind of a are you? Are you a religious guy? Are you an atheist? Are you what morally drives you?
Money. Just
money. Pretty much.
Absolute money and fame and power. And no, I do have a very spiritual upbringing. Like a lot of people when they were in high school, they experimented with drugs or sex or booze or anything, and I did something way worse. I was involved in youth group, and that'll mess you up.
Because
I thought, I mean, there was a point where I thought that I would grow up and marry a virgin, and it would be easier these days for me to marry a guy. Yes, that's a double dinger.
Bell.
You hear
double
that,
dinger.
Seattle? That's the bar.
It is so politically correct, the whole gay marriage thing. Yeah.
So.
And is anybody saving themselves from marriage?
Is marriage saving themselves for anybody? Why did everybody turn around? And
well, you didn't have to even say it. I wasn't going to.
I'm not saying a word.
Mine yeah, didn't. You're going up with the Navy pilots, sister.
That's right.
Good time.
You know what can happen up there.
Have you, they pull a move where they do like 5 Gs to try and get you to black out? That's like that's called the Big Blue Roofie.
They do a what?
They call it the Big Blue Roofie?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did you get that?
No, I got it. I got it. Thanks.
Dear.
Can't wait.
Enjoy.
You know, they hadn't invented roofies when I was picking up girls at bars.
Yeah.
I would have been.
You would not have. Don't go there.
Hey.
Come on.
Whoops, bumped your head getting in the Chevy.
Well, I wouldn't have. I would never have. Let me put it to you this way. I would never have not told a girl I was giving her one. I think
he's a gentleman.
Right.
I'm a gentleman.
I'm doing this for your own good because I know you wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Would you like a roofie?
I'll give you the deniability to say that you had no idea what was happening.
I'm going to have parody songs someday, sister.
That's the date rape
Listen
drug, right? That's the thing you give to people and they don't
act all innocent.
Right. Yeah. Never had that, no.
We're lucky. We grew up in times when it was a safer time to poach.
Well, it was alcohol.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and if you couldn't get it done with alcohol, then that's it.
You moved on to the one that you couldn't get it done with alcohol with.
Exactly.
You just kept throwing your, line in the water.
Are you a big sports fan living here?
Yeah, I am a big sports fan. I like football more than most of the other sports.
Excited as can be about this year.
Oh, I think it'll be a good year. I think, because we had the big problem, like the steroids. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, they had the big deal with steroids. I don't, personally, everybody I've asked, nobody cares if the professional athletes are on steroids.
Right. Who cares? Let them do all the steroids they want.
Oh,
They're there for our amusement. Let them absolutely manipulate themselves in any way possible so that I can see more home runs hit off the fence.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing is because they go before a congressional board. I mean, we're paying these congressmen to sit there and grill these guys like, are you on performance-enhancing drugs? Let me ask you this, Senator. Are you on Viagra? Because I'd rather see a 500-foot home run than Orrin Hatch throw it to some poli-sci intern at the Georgetown Chili's. You know? And if they're on steroids, imagine this. How awesome are the brawls? Oh! If they're all jacked out of their minds.
Ah, it's a basically a brawl. Ooh, an arm got ripped off. That's going to be not the most.
I left batting helmet day with a head.
Yeah, much ado about nothing. And poor Brett Boone. I mean, here's this guy. He's a great player. And let's face it, without the steroids, he can't do it.
Absolutely.
And do you want to cause that? I mean, who is he hurting?
Yeah, nobody.
Just Brett Boone. Well, Brett Boone.
Yeah.
Because they're bad for you.
It was uncomfortable to watch him cry.
Maybe his son Banjo
Boy. Did you see, were you in there? Did you ever go in the locker room? Did he have the bad back acne or what?
No, not really. Brett didn't have. That's more of a, if you're young. and get on the juice.
If you don't have millionaire money for steroids.
For the good, clean stuff.
Oh, yeah. Those are the guys who are shopping at Hot Topic.
Yeah. Jeff Lott.
Check it out.
Very nice to meet you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me in,
easygoing conversation. A nice guy.
Thank you.
Very funny.